Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness. And that means dealing with the times as they are and what they might be, or what in this case may be coming up in the future. We don't know. And that's what my guest, one of my favorite guests and one of my oldest longtime friends, Allison Carman, is going to be talking about tonight, and her book, The Gift of Maybe. She is the maybe girl, and her book has been selling everywhere, especially since the presidential election. So, hi, Allison.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for having me tonight.
It is always good to have you back on my program. So, you said your book went through a huge spike in sales after the election because people were so upset. What were they looking for that they found in your book?
Well, I think that what happened, you know, over the last 2 years during the election, that Donald Trump said a lot of things that really frightened people. He said things, he made statements against minorities, against the environment. And what happened is that in order for people to feel safe and secure, many of us started to write the story that Hillary Clinton needs to win for us to be okay, or anybody other than Donald Trump needs to win for us to be okay. And I think we held on to that story really, really tight because it made us feel safe and secure. And election night, when people saw that Donald Trump was going to win the election, which was totally unexpected by most people.
Except for the people who voted for him, of course.
Right. But even though, I think even those people weren't sure he was going to win.
Well, even Donald Trump, I think,
was surprised. So this unexpected event, you know, when you write a story and it doesn't happen the way you planned, and something else happens, often people start to feel shaky, they start to feel insecure, they start to feel worried. And in this case, a lot of people feel frightened for their, a lot of people who are not legal in this country, or a lot of people have parents that might not be legal, or people are looking for funding for certain things. A lot of people feel like, what's going to happen next? And I think this idea of maybe is allowing people to see that a lot of our fear and worry is not from this moment.
Let me just back up, because one of your basic concepts, I think, in your book is that we are always writing a story of the future. We're always planning the future because we're not in the moment, and we're always saying, okay, how's it going to be tomorrow?
Right.
What's the best situation? So we write a story of this is how I want the future to be. And if that doesn't happen, then we get upset because the future is not the story we wrote, and we don't know where we're at then. Is that one of
that's exactly what's happening now. And what's also happening is people are looking at it and they're saying it's going to be bad. Everything's going to be horrible. And what happens when you project into the future, in reality, we suffer because we think we know, right? So a lot of us are suffering right now because we think we know what Donald Trump's presidency means for the future. And honestly, in this moment, we can't possibly know everything. So what's happening is that we're writing stories, we're projecting into the future, and the problem with a projection is it has no bottom. So you start to worry about is economic policy, and then you'll start to worry about war. If you go on like this for so many days, eventually you're going to be thinking about nuclear war. The projection right now is causing most of the suffering. If people could realize what's true in this moment and what's the part I'm projecting, a lot of their suffering would go away.
And what's true, I mean, there's some other things. True, but let me just break this down. So the truth is, I guess, what we project into the future is only what we know, and the future is not anything we know. That's why it's the future. It's the unknown.
Right, but most people are scared of the unknown. Most people, uncertainty frightens them in their everyday life.
You have a great turnaround because how did your book open? You were addicted.
I was addicted to certainty. So yes. For me, uncertainty always scared me. When I looked at uncertainty, I always thought, oh, I don't know. That means it's not going to work out, or things are going to be bad. Or when an expectation that I had and I was disappointed, my projections were always negative, and I didn't see that there's this element of uncertainty that goes beyond anything, that within uncertainty, there's this idea of maybe. Maybe what I'm projecting is not true. Maybe things are going to be okay. Maybe things are going to suck and then they'll get better. Maybe there's something I could do in the moment. So what maybe does, it loosens that fear you have of what you think is going to happen tomorrow. And it makes you see, I don't know what's going to happen. And thank God I don't know, because within not knowing, there's hope and possibility. So for me in this moment, I feel so strong in this moment. I realize based on everything that Donald Trump said, I have to act. I've already tried to form a political action committee. I'm joining groups. My intention is to protect civil liberties. But beyond that, I recognize I don't know. And that not knowing gives me so much hope because I believe that things can change. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I can hold the hope in this moment. So maybe for me is my perspective and my platform. And I think that's why the book is selling, because it's allowing people to stop the projection and look at the unknown with more hope and possibility and come back to the moment and say, maybe there's something I could do now. And I think that's why it's really resonating.
Right. I mean, a couple of things there. The problem I have with maybe is like, yes, maybe the future will be better, but the other side of it is maybe it won't. And so if you hold maybe, you're sort of in the middle of that, right?
I mean, right. And it's okay. Can I tell you something? It's okay. Yeah. That maybe it won't, it exists, but maybe it will exist too. And that's what's happening. In this moment, everybody's projecting it won't. And it's disabling them and it's paralyzing them and it's going to be really hard for them to act. So yes, in the world of maybe, there are things you don't like, but there are also things you can create that you do like. And that's the point.
Why are you so upbeat? Why are you so happy? Why do you feel so solid in this? What did you do? How did you shift this in yourself?
I feel really solid because I'm in the moment. That's why I feel the moment is where everything is created. The moment is where everything is real and maybe keeps cutting off my projection. Right now, Donald Trump is not president. Right now, Barack Obama is president. Right now, I ate a really nice dinner. I am on the phone with you. My health feels great. I'm in this moment. And at the same time, I'm very aware of everything Donald Trump said, and I'm making a lot of plans and a lot of actions so I could help make the world a better place. I'm very present. Because I know life has maybe. I know people could tell me 1,000 things that are going to happen next, but they don't know.
Right. So you said, but okay. So for people who are upset about the election, you had a breakthrough. I mean, this is your life's work, of course, and you've been working with these concepts for a long, long time. But for people who are hearing the news or heard the, and don't know what to do, and they don't know about their future. I know you've said it, but what are like some baby steps to take?
The first thing is there's nothing wrong with being upset right now. And there's nothing wrong with being angry. And there's nothing wrong with being worried. That's how people are feeling. The problem with anger is over time, anger often turns into hatred. Over time, fear and worry can be very disabling and depleting. And I've never seen, you know, when I've done a lot of community work and I've been a lot of boardrooms, I think that anger and fear sometimes awaken us to what needs to happen, awaken us to the change that we need to make. But I rarely see someone who is overcome with anger and fear take it to the end, make the change. It's just too hard to manage those emotions. So again, it's okay how people are feeling, but what maybe does, it gives people to go to. It gives people a place to go to when they're ready.
That's what so maybe you're saying maybe gives them some space.
Yes.
So
yes.
Maybe is the so people projecting these stories of the future, and their stories don't happen. Like that great story of you not getting into the law school you wanted to, but you know something shifted for you. But anyway, people who have these stories. Let me just see if I can get it. So I have a story of the future, I have it working out a certain way. So it doesn't work out, but maybe it'll work out better than I even thought. Maybe Donald Trump will be even better than Hillary Clinton.
Maybe Hillary had another place. Maybe she's going to change the world in another way. Maybe Donald Trump's going to do some good things and some bad things. Maybe Donald Trump is waking up everybody in the United States that we need to be more active participants in our communities, in our economy, in our political system. This could be an awakening. We really just don't know. But again, the anger and the fear, people are going to feel what they feel. But maybe it's this open place that they're going to be able to glide to over time if they allow it. If they keep with the mindset, Donald Trump is the worst thing in the world and this world is going to crap, it's going to be very hard to hold that every day. And what's also interesting about anger and fear is you think you're holding it just for Donald Trump, but eventually It's going to pour into your work life. It's going to pour into your home life. You're not going to, those are very chaotic energies. So we're actually now in a chaotic place within ourselves. So we have to decide, am I going to hold this chaotic energy and give Donald Trump all my power? Or am I going to find a place that I can go with this? So maybe it's this natural place that just shows you this open field where you say, you look at it, you're like, okay, I'm really having a hard time thinking things are going to be good, but I do recognize that maybe things could be different than I'm projecting.
Wait, but let me just pick up a point you said. So it'll pour over into our life and affect us in other ways, but I think people have that before they even project. I think it's already in people's lives, and they use things like Donald Trump as an excuse, as a projection of anger and upset and dissatisfaction.
And that could be too. And then when we look at our lives, are we believing that our lives could never change? Are we holding on to the past? Are we projecting into the future? See, maybe it's such a beautiful tool. And there are a lot of different tools that people could use. I'm just sharing the tool that has really liberated me from my past and is allowing me not to project into the future. But you're right. I mean, how are people viewing their own lives? Is Donald Trump a real fear in their life, or are they blaming him for how they're feeling about other things? Everybody's going to come to this conversation from a different place.
So how do we move forward into the future? I mean, like collectively, there is a collective, at least in New York. I know in lots of parts of the country, this is a nationwide program, worldwide. People don't feel that way. But the people I know, how do we move forward collectively? Maybe you should run for office. I don't know.
There's a lot. Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to look at your inner dialogue. Again, there's nothing wrong with feeling angry. There's nothing wrong with feeling upset or worried or anxiety. But you gotta, what I would ask people to do is start with the exercise that I do every day. I ask myself, what thought is taking me to hell? What thought is making me feel horrible? And maybe your thought is Donald Trump's going to ruin the environment. Donald Trump's going to take away the right to choose. Donald Trump's going to get us into a war. Whatever your thought is right now that's driving you crazy. And ask yourself, am I absolutely certain that that thought's true? In this moment, am I absolutely certain that thought's true? And you recognize I'm not certain. And then write out what could happen. Broad maybe statements. Maybe things will be better than I think. Maybe Donald Trump will do some good things. Maybe he's going to be horrible, but I could do something now. Maybe I need to be more present in the moment. Just keep saying those maybe statements again and again. You could write them actually for about 20 minutes. And in about 20 minutes, I will guarantee that you will feel better because you will recognize, yeah, I have this fear, but this fear is not absolute. There are other possibilities out there. And that's how it starts. And over time, every day, if you recognize your anger and your fear are not the only two possibilities for you in your life, you're going to start opening a little bit more and more. And the more the light shines in, the more you're going to look. I rarely meet someone who doesn't see light and want to go towards it. So the more the light shines in, the more you might say, well, maybe I could join a group today. Maybe I should run for politics. Maybe I need to start move somewhere and start fighting for the environment. Maybe I need to start recycling. Maybe
so you're saying maybe Donald Trump is actually bringing people together.
Could be. He could be. Well, I know
he is in a way. He is.
I know more people in my, I've always been very active. I try to be active with charity and community. A lot of people I know that have not been that active, they're like, where can I sign up? What could I do? I want to be part of this. So I find that there's more kindness from the people people I see they're worried and they're upset, but they're open to kindness. They're open to helping. Even over the weekend when the last weekend before the election, I took like 12 kids to phone bank for Hillary Clinton. Now, just that the fact that I took them phone banking, these children, now they're like, they've turned into political activists. So I'm looking at them and they're kids who didn't really talk about politics before. And now they're like, what could we do next? What could we join? And I'm looking at their generation saying, maybe they're going to get it right. So I just think that we're all writing a lot of stories. We know exactly how things are going to be. And in truth, we don't. We have no idea.
I think that was the big upset about Hillary Clinton losing. I think people who voted for Hillary Clinton were thinking, we know what she's like. It'll probably be the same old thing. And that's comfortable. It's sort of a comfort zone.
Right.
And in a sense, the kind of New York elite, the New York and L.A. elite were sort of stuck, and the real progressives were those people willing to try something different. The people that we don't think are progressive, this is just my political analysis, were the ones who saying, you know what, we've had enough of the world being the way it is, we want to change. And I think, you know, it's from the middle of the country that the progressive ideas, if we want to call it that, wanted something different, wanted a new maybe, a new story.
You know what's really interesting, Alan? Certainty makes us complacent. That's the big problem. And maybe that's what we were all grasping for. Because we're all addicted to certainty at the end of the day, because most of us are afraid we're not okay. So
afraid of the future. That's also the problem.
And even look at the stock market. The stock market's up right now because Donald Trump met with President Obama and things look good. And everybody's looking to create a story about, let's try to say it's not going to be so bad. I'm not even looking at it good or bad. I'm not saying that, look, they met, that's good, that's bad. I don't know what that means. I think it's nice that they had a conversation and it could bring hope into the world, but I am not grasping at certainty, because if I grasp at certainty and write the story that Donald Trump's going to be okay, I'm not going to act. So I think we all need to be okay with not knowing. And then I believe we will be so present that we will do what we need to do in the moment.
So let me ask you, I cut you off.
I'm done.
No, but I wanted to say, we seem more addicted to writing stories than we even do to certain, stories are a sort of a byproduct of certainty, or maybe it's the other way around. But if we didn't write a story about how we thought things were going to be, bad or good, we'd be in the present like you, enlightened. Is that it?
I'm not enlightened. Believe me, I have moments during the day where I'll read something. Donald Trump. And again, it's not that I'm anti-Donald Trump. It's that I wanted the country to go a different way, and I realized that people voted for him for the reasons that they did. But for me personally, I'll be watching the news, and they'll say, Donald Trump is nominating so-and-so to his cabinet, and I'll start to suffer. And I'll realize, why am I suffering right now? Well, I'm suffering because I'm projecting about what that means for the future, and I bring myself back to the moment. But at the same time I'm in the moment, I see, wow, that guy doesn't have the greatest environmental policies. I want to get more involved in that. That's how I'm operating.
So, okay. So the guy doesn't have great environmental policies, but maybe it's up to us. Maybe it's not up to the president. Maybe it's up to the citizens to stand up for the environment. We're always looking for someone else.
We're always looking for someone to save us. And we have not been active citizens. If you look to see all the laws that have been passed, all the lobbying, all the things that have happened, we have been, a lot of us have been asleep at the wheel. Allowing things to pass, allowing things to happen. And I'm hoping now we all become active participants in our lives, in our societies, our communities, and in politics. I help more people run. So for me, I'm just staying in this open place. I don't know.
But let me just go back to that basic concept. Are we addicted to our stories? Can we live without stories, stories of the past, stories of the future? Is that possible, you think?
Yes. Our stories come from our addiction to certainty. We want to know so bad that we write stories to make us feel better. We have this job and we're so afraid of uncertainty that we say, I'm going to have this job till I retire. Or we declare how much money we're going to have in the bank. Or we say, if my child goes to this school, they're going to have a great life. We write the stories because we're so afraid of the unknown. They make us think, this is a sure thing.
But there's stories and goals. I mean, you had a goal. I mean, you wanted to be a lawyer. You wanted to be a mother. You had these goals. I mean, are they stories?
No, there's a difference.
Or are they goal setting?
There's a difference between a goal and a story.
Yes, tell me.
A goal can be, I went to law school to become I want to become an attorney. There's nothing wrong with the goal. It's just that life has twists and turns, right? And so I have to be okay with, I'm clear I want this, but I have to be okay with all the different things that could happen on the way. And sometimes life takes such a turn that you have to switch your goal. So goals are different. Goals are not about, you can have a goal and be okay with uncertainty. You could say, this is my passion. This is what I want to achieve. The stories we write about how it has to happen That's where our addiction to certainty comes in. And sometimes when people have a goal, they're so addicted to certainty that when little upsets happen along the way, they give up. I've seen people give up too soon because they can't handle the uncertainty. Someone opens up a business and they don't make as much money as they thought they were going to make, or they don't have the clients they thought they were going to make, and they can't handle it. They say, things aren't working out, I'm closing up shop. And we forget that we don't know how we're going to get to our goal.
But we don't know how. So our story, I'm just trying to understand the difference. So you had a story, I don't know, maybe it's a goal. You wanted to get married and have a family and do all that. That was a sort of story for your future, right?
I mean, the story would have been, if I have a husband, I have kids, I'm going to feel safe and secure. Okay. When I have this, my life's not going to have problems. I want this for stability. That's the story.
Okay.
If I have a dream and a goal that I want to fall in love and have kids, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, life might have not given me that. And if that was the case, I could pout and say, life's not working out. Or I could say, okay, maybe there's something else for me in my life, right?
Right.
That's it. So the stories, you got the difference between a goal is from your authentic self. This is what I want for my life. The story is told because we're so afraid we're not okay. And that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I could tell a story about how something needs to happen. That would be a story, because I'm so afraid when I want this goal that all these things I don't want to happen are going to happen along the way. But
we shouldn't give up on our goals either. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, you know, we want something to happen because this is something we desire.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's okay to stay.
Yeah, just don't. You can't be attached to how you're going to get there. You just can't. I mean, there's going to be twists and turns. And sometimes we do have to change what we wanted. We do have to change our goals and dreams. But often the suffering is because this shouldn't have happened, and he wasn't supposed to cancel the agreement. And this, we don't know. Maybe you shouldn't have gotten that client, and maybe you had to wait 3 years to get your book published. We're always so busy saying what's right, what's wrong, what's the right time, what's the wrong time.
Okay. So
we don't know.
So in terms of the election, it's like we get attached to one candidate or the other, but basically in the election voting, we want a safe country, a peaceful country, a prosperous country. Right. And we think it should be this person or that person. But the goal is the overall intent.
Right.
And we say, oh, it has to happen this way. That's where we get attached to the story.
But there's nothing wrong with saying my goal is to elect this candidate because this candidate represents more of the policies that I agree with. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to remember, we sometimes don't achieve goals, right? What happens when you don't achieve a goal? I see people who fall apart, who never pursue things again. And I see people who say, okay, this didn't happen. Maybe there's something else. What do I got to do now? And that's what's happening now. So yes, sometimes we don't. I could say it was my goal for Hillary Clinton to become president.
I don't think it was your goal for Hillary. I think behind that is our goal to have a really peaceful, safe, prosperous country. That's the goal.
Yes,
when we get attached to the avenue of getting there, that's where the story interferes.
Yes, one could argue that she was my story of getting that. Yeah, I think a lot of people could argue that.
Goal is what we can't lose sight of.
Well, goal is I wanted good environmental policies. I wanted to preserve women's rights. I wanted to have, you know, an immigration policy that's more inclusive. I wanted people to live in peace and harmony. So yes, I probably wrote the story that Hillary Clinton was going to get me all those things.
But maybe the other story of maybe is that we're going to get that way if there's some obstruction to that, and by fighting for it, we actually achieve a goal in a bigger way.
That could happen. That's what I'm saying. We still have maybe. Just because Donald Trump won doesn't mean it's the end of the game.
Well, you're saying we still have the goal of what we want.
Yes.
And maybe the way we thought we were going to get there isn't how it is. But the goal is still possible. It's still secure.
Yes,
it's still
absolutely. Absolutely.
I just got that. I mean, I've been hearing your stuff for what, 20 years now, 10 years at least, right?
Well, I think you got it in a context that really is helping you and a lot of other people in this moment. Because, you know, sometimes there's a theory, and I think that's why the book is really resonating now. because so many people are feeling the uncertainty at the same time, and it's very overwhelming for them because they feel threatened in a lot of ways.
Are you shuffling a deck of cards?
No, a piece of paper move. Yes, I'm playing solitaire while we talk.
It sounded like that. But anyway, no, I think I got that piece of maybe that I didn't realize before, just by the goals versus the story. And I think, you know, the story sort of almost in the way right. of what we want to achieve.
Right. And in all fairness to people, people could look at Donald Trump now and not see him representing the policies that they want. And that's why they're so frightened. But like you said, they have to see the bigger picture and they have to embrace the maybe. And what's so great about the maybe, it allows you to be so present, you'll know what to do in the moment. I just think the anger and the fear over time, I just don't see how we're going to mobilize with those emotions. People could work them out over time.
But even if Hillary Clinton won, it'd still be anger and fear and resentment on the other half of the population, right?
Yes, and I've thought about that a lot. I've thought about what would happen, right, if we talk about an entire country. Right now I'm just talking about the people who are worried and stressed now. Yes, if she had won, there would be another group possibly that would be feeling the same exact way that we're feeling today.
And I think that group actually is more neglected. You know, if we want to look at the political media landscape, the polls, the media, everybody was against Trump, at least on the East Coast and West Coast. Those are the only people we know. And we were, we had no idea, at least through the media and the people we trust, at least here in our intellectual elite, that there were people suffering.
Right.
There were people who weren't happy. Right. We were really out of touch with half the country.
Right.
Because, and the media was too.
Right.
And this woke us up to the fact that, well, not everybody thinks the way we think. How can that be, you know? How can someone fly their plane into the World Trade Center if they're upset with us? You know, it's like that. People, we think everyone's like us, and in reality, everyone is different. It has their own beliefs and ideas. And we didn't know that.
And what happens when people are suffering and they lose hope?
What happens?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that Donald Trump probably spoke to them. They spoke to the fact, right? And we also have to look at a way that how are we going to mend this country?
I call it the ununited states.
Yeah. How are we going to do that? And there's a lot of healing that needs to happen. But again, feeling so distraught and angry and worried that the world's not going to be the way you want it to be, I don't think is going to get people there. I think people have to find a way to find strength and resilience and open their heart up. And we all have to figure out a way to communicate. And for me, this practice is just the miracle, because that night when I was watching the election, I first felt very afraid. I saw he was winning Florida. I had 12 kids in the house. And I went into the bathroom and all of a sudden I accepted it and I fell so hard into maybe. And I've just been in this open place where I'm not judging and I'm willing to act. It's not making me passive.
Wait, go through that moment a little slower. So you had kids over your house. Everybody was really excited about the election. It looked like Hillary Clinton was going to win before the votes came in, of course. And we're all excited. And then what was your evening like?
Well, what happened is that you saw the Florida numbers were going his way. Mm-hmm. And as that was happening, the New York Times started to predict on the upshot, they started to give Donald Trump more and more of a high percentage he was going to win.
So, and then how did it make you feel? Go through.
I started to look at, there were three 13-year-olds on the couch and they were looking at me and they were saying, Allison, are we going to be okay? Is everything going to be okay?
They had a story about Hillary Clinton.
One of them said, oh, are we going to die if Donald Trump wins?
Really?
Yes. And that was probably from conversations. You know, I think a lot of parents also were very loose with their language at home. You know, Donald Trump's going to destroy the world. We don't realize we could say Donald Trump's going to destroy the world. And a child is literally going to think that that's what's going to happen. So I think a lot of parents weren't very controlled with their speech. I think they realize that now. So this girl.
That is shocking. And one 13-year-old said that to you?
Yes. I am feeling.
What did you say back? Did you say yes?
Oh, I said, let's wait. I said, let's wait. We don't know. At that point, I said, let's wait. We don't know. It's one state. We don't know that Donald Trump's going to win. But I kind of had the feeling as I was looking at the upshot that that it was starting to go his way. I actually felt sick to my stomach.
Talk about that. You felt sick because your expectation and your story was so certain in one direction. Is that what you felt sick?
I didn't even realize I was at a maybe. I actually, you know, if I look back, I can say that I was not in maybe about this election because I was getting very heated during the debates. I was very upset when the FBI report came out. So I was really hooked into this. So I was not in maybe. You know, I was in maybe with work and finances. But with this election, I obviously was hooked. There was a I wrote the story too. She needs to win for everything to be okay. So when he started to win, I felt physically ill. I went into the bathroom. And all of a sudden,
physically ill because your story wasn't the way you. Story wasn't either.
Donald Trump's going to win, and all hell's going to break loose. That's if I really am honest, I probably was thinking that. And when I went into the bathroom, I felt physically ill, and all of a sudden, I know when I start to suffer. Like sometimes it becomes so acute. That's when the maybe button kind of gets pressed, and all of a sudden, I just accepted it. I accepted that Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States, and I went right to maybe. And I sunk.
Wait. So how do you make the switch from feeling sick to your stomach to acceptance?
I realized that I didn't know for sure that the world was going to go to hell. I realized
that. I realized that you've been working on maybe and you forgot it.
I forgot it. So my mantra said maybe everything's going to still be okay.
Well, how did you forget it though?
I forgot because there was so much fear around. Because he represented all these policies that I was against. He was speaking against Muslims. He was speaking against women. He had there were allegations of sexual assault. So I just built the story like everybody else that he cannot be president of the United States. And he was not my choice, but there was something unbearable about it. And I think I had that mindset like we all had. I think we all really were thinking. We didn't realize it. If he's president of the United States, we're all screwed and we're doomed. I think we were all thinking that.
That was the story we created.
You think we were all thinking that?
Yes. Well, I had my other reasons. I knew Hillary Clinton was going to come out with the UFO secrets. I mean, had a whole story.
Right.
A whole scenario. That involved me personally, you know, that I had, and it's like, wow, that was really shut down.
Yeah, and so now we're sitting here, and we realize, even though Hillary Clinton was our preference, or someone else was our preference, we didn't get our preference, so now what? Now what? And I realized that night that I didn't know what it was going to be like. And I had written a story, and because I didn't know, there was a lot of maybe. And it could be good, it could be bad. But within those choices, there are things that it could be good. So I became very present and very open. And now I'm just going to keep working as hard as I can every day to help other people and also become more active than I was before.
Say you feel good about Donald Trump being president because it puts
No,
I only say that because it puts you more in touch with your core philosophy instead of going by your old story.
No, I feel I've accepted it. I've accepted it. And I see that sometimes something we don't like happens and there's a gift there. So it's not that I feel good about it. I recognize the gift.
The gift was
that I fell so hard into maybe that I've never been so in maybe in my entire life.
When you're in maybe, you're very optimistic, right?
Well, no, I'm not into positive thinking. I think that positive thinking is tough for people because if you're afraid of uncertainty, it's hard to be positive. You wake up in the morning, you say, oh, these great things are going to happen to me. And the minute things happen that you don't like, it's hard to hold it. So I'm a possible thinker.
Because I always thought, you know, after studying your work for 10 years, that maybe was a sort of positive attitude, but you're saying it's not positive.
Well, it's possible. But you know something? When you start to feel hopeful and open, I do feel more positive being a maybe thinker, but I'm not grabbing certainty right now, and that's the difference. I'm not saying I know. I am willing not to know. So that's why I probably feel okay because at the moment everything's fine, Again, I believe certainty is complacency. So I'm not looking for certainty. So people can't say, oh, that maybe is a bunch of bull, because it's not. Because I'm not selling you what's going to be. I'm just saying, if you're upset today, you don't know what's going to be either. And maybe there's another possibility other than your worst fear.
There's, because our fear is only what we know anyway. Like
exactly. So I said, yeah.
And Donald Trump, in a way, does represent the unknown.
Yeah.
We're projecting onto him what we think from our negative story, but we don't know.
We don't know. And we don't know what Hillary Clinton, and it's so interesting about our story, in truth, is we have no idea what kind of president Hillary Clinton would have been. We had no idea what would have happened. And that's the thing also about the thing that didn't happen. We always talk about it and it starts to become a fantasy and it has glitter and gloss because we never get to play it out, right?
Right, like the girl you could have married or whatever.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. What do we do with those? I mean, those are just, are those lies we tell ourselves or what are?
They're not lies. I think it's very clear that Hillary Clinton had a better environmental policy. In this moment, we could look at he doesn't have as great of environmental policy. So it's what we preferred. But
those aren't reality.
Not realities. They
were live out those fantasies. But we're living... But in many cases, we're still living out our old fantasies.
Absolutely, because we really don't know what would have happened. For all we know, the Republican Congress would have blocked everything, and she would have gotten nothing done, and her whole... And I don't know. I'm just saying that there's another possibility other than the story we've been telling.
I'm saying, what do we do with the fantasies of what if? Shakespeare said, your if is your only peacemaker, but I think it also perpetuates...
We say maybe that story is not true. And recognize the fact that I don't know about that either. I don't know. But I do know what I liked, so I'm going to fight for it today with what I have.
I'm asking, what's the best way to let go of our stories about even what didn't happen? I mean, we live with our stories, and you say just be present. I think that's what you're saying.
But being present is hard for people, too, because of all the fear. So for me,
there is no fear really when you're absolutely present.
Right. But how do you get present if you have all the fear? So for me, when I looked at my Hillary Clinton story, I said to myself, maybe the story I'm writing about Hillary Clinton is not true. But also, I do practice acceptance. I'm able to see that I could, Hillary Clinton is not going to be president. So I could bang my head against that wall, or I could just accept that fact. And so for me, I'm very, like I said, if I'm trying to make something happen that's not happening, I'm going to feel pain. So I just went into acceptance. She's not going to be president. And then I realized the story I wrote about a presidency, maybe it wasn't true. I could only get there through maybe. That was the only way I was able to break the story. Because that was the only thing that challenged this absolute thought I had. Hillary Clinton's the best, going to be the best president. Only maybe challenged my fantasy. That was how I got there.
But the bigger problem is that we live in fantasy or certainty, and that humans are addicted to their story of the possible, their attachment,
Right.
And what you're teaching is freedom.
Maybe it's hope without attachment.
Hope without attachment. That is a good little blurb. I like that.
Yeah.
Did you just make that up or did you?
No, I've been I've been saying it for a long time, but maybe it just seems...
I don't know if that's possible. Hope
without attachment, you can do it.
What is hope but attaching to?
No, because if you realize that you're willing to let life happen in different ways, you're not going to be as attached. So you could be hopeful. There's nothing wrong with hope. Hope is not what makes us suffer. It's our attachment to how it has to happen. That's where all the suffering is.
Right. So our hope, we want to. Yes, a beautiful planet, our hope, but right.
Find a parent who doesn't have hope for their child. You can't. I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning without hope.
Talk about maybe in parenting, because I know that's your next project a little bit.
Well, like I said, parents are attached to their kids. They need their children to be okay. I've never met one parent who doesn't have that kind of attachment.
But do they also have a story for your kid? My kid has to be this and this.
My child needs to go to this school to be okay. My child needs to be on this team. My child needs to get these grades. And the stories are just because we're afraid if these things don't happen, our child's not going to be okay. But if you look...
The overall goal, so you're saying the goal is for your child to be okay.
Right.
Story is what's in the way. A lot of times, like, the kid doesn't want to go to baseball, right, doesn't want to do this.
But we can't see that. We can't see that because we're not willing to get off the path that's most certain, in quotes, I say that, you know, the path that more people have traveled. And right. So, but what's interesting, if you really look at parents' attachment, the attachment is not where all the suffering comes from. The suffering comes from our inability to deal with uncertainty. What kind of parent would we be in the midst of something unexpected happening, our child not doing well in school, our child being bullied, our child not being well, if we could take a step back and say, I see this happening in the moment, but maybe this is not the end of the road. Maybe something else could happen. Maybe I could listen to my child and we could figure it out. Maybe things will get better tomorrow. Maybe there'll be new discoveries in the health field. There's so many maybes that right. As parents, if we start to embrace them, we will be so much less stressed and worried, because most of the worrying and stress, not all the time, but a lot of it is from our projection into the future.
But even, not to be too personal with you, but even when your child does do exactly, you know, what she's supposed to do and all that, there's still stress, right?
Top
of the class and all that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's
why is there stress when, like, things you want actually happen?
Because then you project the next thing.
Oh, right.
Then you project the next thing. My child got into this great college. Well, what kind of job do you think they're going to get? What kind of grades? It never ends. We are experts at projecting. All of us in our jobs, in our personal lives. And the reason we're all projecting is because certainty makes us feel better.
Feeling better would be live without certainty, right?
That would be, well, ultimately, there really is no certainty. And that's why we get knocked out all the time. Because we tell the stories, and when they don't happen, that's why we're always getting knocked down by the waves. We're having nervous breakdowns. We're upset. That's why we're on the roller coaster ride, because of all the stories we tell. And the most important relationship in our life is really uncertainty. It's the most important relationship. So if we can master that relationship, our entire lives, the quality of our lives will change. And that's, for me, that's when I become really present, when I embrace uncertainty. Meditate every day, but when you're not meditating or not sleeping, so many things are always happening. They're always trying to hook you.
But wait, I want to just talk about another little adjunct to the political process, and we can get back to parenting. But, you know, the media, the press are really involved in creating the stories for our culture. And they've just been, scolded, or they've been flipped into uncertainty. The media doesn't know where they stand, at least the mainstream media, with this guy, president, you know, and there's a little bit of a freak out, I think, on the part of the media. How are they going to tell the stories that...
Right. In all fairness to them, there's a lot of alternative media. I think what's happened is that people are looking for media to affirm their beliefs instead of...
Well, they also create the beliefs, too. They're also...
So I think instead of seeking truth, there's a lot of media out there. People are just going towards the media that makes them feel better.
Right.
So we all, again, have to be willing to look at everything and to really seek truth out. So I think the mainstream media, they did perpetuate a lot of fear in a lot of ways, but on the other hand, I found that they were more into truth-telling than a lot of the alternative media. You know, all that stuff. I think there was a lot of fake stories going around about Hillary Clinton that weren't really fair.
Well, that's true. There were also some fake stories about Donald Trump, but there were more fake stories about... And I think she was demonized.
Yes.
Well, he was too, to some degree, but she was demonized in ways that I don't think were fair, but... Yeah. You know,
And you know what a thought also made me feel really empowered, that maybe her best is yet to come. Maybe without politics, because even if you look at her, you know, back when she was young and she was really powerful and she was a real strong advocate. Maybe when the politics are gone and all that stuff's gone, she is going to really emerge as a world leader, free of all the strings that were holding her back. And really, I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There are a lot of women around the world that are being sex trafficked, that are being mutilated, that are not free. There are a lot of girls in this country that need to be empowered. Maybe she's going to evolve into a leader that will be able to make more change, not as president. Yeah,
that's possible. Or maybe she inspired other women like Michelle Obama or Elizabeth Warren, who I think really brilliant, don't you?
Absolutely. And maybe we're going to have the in 4 years, maybe this country is going to be strong and brave enough to elect somebody who maybe can effectuate change. The thing is, we really don't know. We're writing the story, and the thing is, we're writing the end. We don't know the end, right? Maybe there is no end. So I think we all have to take a step back, regroup, and just say, okay, I don't know, but I'm sure going to fight as hard as I can for the things that I believe in. But I'm not going to, I'm that game of stress, worry, anger. I, you know, for me, I can't hold it. It doesn't make me feel good. It's not productive. And I want to rise up as a leader. I want to rise up as someone strong. My children are watching me right now. And as frightened as my children were, that when I came out of that bathroom, I sold every child in my apartment, maybe. And I know that my older daughter went to school the next day.
Did they buy your book? No.
But actually, you know what's really funny?
What?
I gave one of the children, she was a 7-year-old, I gave her my book when she left. And I said, you might want to read it. So 2 days later, I get a letter from her mother, who I don't know. And it turns out the child had no interest in reading it, but the mother read it and she thanked me. She says, I'm so thankful that this gift showed up at my house because it made me feel really different about the election. And I don't feel as upset and I don't feel as worried. So
what did you say? You were going to say something about your children. What was their response?
Well, the next day, my children go to a Quaker school. And the next day, you know, so they have these meetings where people can just speak. And my daughter got up and she's talked about how disappointed she was that Hillary Clinton wasn't going to be president, that she was really ready for a woman president. But she also said, I feel hopeful. And I see a lot of maybe. And she sold it to the whole school. So
you should just be out there with your books as they come out of class.
So, you know.
That's great. No, but one more thing. What about, and we can go on a little bit, unless you have something to do. You know, what about like the people protesting are out there, they're in front of Trump Towers. I mean, what would you say to those people who are just simply expressing their upsetness or their disappointment or their attachment to the story?
I think it's great. I think the worst thing in life we could do is hold in our emotions. That's the worst, because then they're never going anywhere. The only place they're going is into our organs and they're going to make us feel sick and be very disruptive in our lives. I think that it was so unexpected that people need to need to express themselves. And I think that there's nothing wrong with peaceful protesting. It's just saying like, I'm not happy how things worked out. There are certain people who are just protesting because they want to know, they're talking about their bodies or their immigration status. So there are numerous reasons why people are out there. And I think it's great. I just think over time, as we advocate, the anger and the fear, I just don't know long-term how it's going to serve people. And I think people have to, hopefully they'll be able to find another way. I mean, I was on a radio show the other night and this woman said to me, if we're not paranoid, we won't be productive. People believe things like this. I don't. I think that, I know, like I said, I've been in a lot of boardrooms. I've been in a lot of meetings. I've been in a lot of community things. The people who lead and the people who last the longest are the ones who find the strength and resilience within themselves and hold their own power and don't give it away.
Right.
And you think about it, Donald Trump's not giving his power away. Mike Pence hasn't given his power away. So why are we giving our power away? Let's hold it. Let's find a way. And maybe it might not be your thing. Maybe you have to find another practice. But whatever your practice is, we have to be able to release a lot of these emotions so we can stay strong and resilient in these times, whatever these times will be.
What's the relationship to story and emotion? Do our stories perpetuate our emotional tendencies? Like, you know, some people have stories that where they're always disappointed or they're always sad, they're always in fear.
Right.
So I'm saying, do our stories relate to our predominant emotional way of being.
Oh, sure, because we're looking to make ourselves feel better, right? So we're going to tell the story to stop the suffering. So whatever story we need to tell to make ourselves feel better, we're going to do that for our own survival because we have no other way to manage uncertainty.
Wow, you sound so sure when you say all that.
The reason I sound this way is really from my own suffering. I have learned through my own. Someone said to me, who's your teacher? And I said, the biggest teacher has been my suffering.
And you're suffering about what?
About uncertainty, about trying to write stories to make myself feel better about the things that scare me. And mm-hmm. That's how maybe came to me because I heard a Taoist story. And when I heard this Taoist story, some of my suffering stopped. And that's how it all started for me. So for me, I always play with this idea of, my fear, my sorrow, my desperation, my ego, all these emotions. And usually I catch myself and these emotions cause me to write stories. And then when I catch it and go back to maybe, I'm always in a different place. And it's not that I don't ever feel sad or ever feel disappointed, but my emotions have a place to go over time into this open place where I realize that I'm not stuck and I'm not doomed. And that those thoughts usually bring me to a new place.
Do you think you were more addicted to your story and certainty than a lot of people who maybe, I don't know, were brought up in there was something?
Yes, I do.
And you suffered a lot. And this just, because you were open and you're spiritually minded, it sort of flipped you into the other. You were awake enough or aware enough to go into your pain.
Yes.
As opposed to,
yes.
You could have been an alcoholic and you would have been.
I chose it. I became best friends with someone who was psychic just because I wanted her to tell me everything was going to be okay. My immune system became compromised. I had trouble sleeping at night. I think that I probably was more addicted than most people.
Yeah, probably because you were actually you sound stronger now and more together now than I ever heard you. I've known you for like what 40 years, right?
I feel I'm in maybe. I just when I say it,
Donald Trump has been very, very good to you.
He's given me a gift because I know that if I start writing the stories about him, And maybe other people could tolerate, maybe people tolerate their pain and suffering better than I do. Maybe that's why I came to it also. Maybe when I'm afraid about something, I make myself sicker than somebody else. Because a lot of people tolerate a lot of things in their lives because they can, right? So maybe I feel good. I feel strong. I feel resilient and I feel ready. I feel ready. I just want to join more and more groups and I want to help more and more people and just let people know that this certainty makes us complacent and uncertainty is our best friend. And if people will see that right now, things will change for them.
No, I think that's great. And I think that's a great message. And thank you. But would you say you have no fear? Is fear all a projection by the mind?
Fear is death. Well, if there are things in the moment, I think that we're experiencing that I would still feel afraid about. I can't say that I've rid myself of all my fear, but I think a lot of our fear is just a story in our mind that we're generating about what's going to happen next.
Right. So you deal with it as it comes up, but you're not living in fear the way you used to.
No, not at all. Because I realized that I was always afraid that I wasn't going to be okay, that something horrible was going to happen, things weren't going to work out. And what's so great about the playing field of maybe too is that when I'm in uncertainty and I embrace maybe, better things happen in my life. And that's the truth. And that part, I'm not really sure. Maybe because I'm not living in fear, I manifest more. I'm more present. There's more joy in my life. I don't know. It's just for me, it's a better way to live, a better quality of life. And
well,
it's more productive.
You feel more stronger physically. Can you talk about that, how it translates into your body?
Yeah. When I think that fear makes us sick. And I think people don't realize it. I think there are certain people that feel it automatically, very sensitive people. They could get acid reflux or they could get a cold or they can get run down. And there are other people who I think the fear just sits with them over time and causes other types of diseases. So for me, not feeling afraid has really, really, I feel stronger. I feel like my immune system is stronger from just not constantly grappling every day with all this worry and all this fear. When I'm in maybe, I feel lighter. I feel more hopeful. I have more energy.
So when you're in maybe, it's like goes through your whole body and it awakens your mind. So you're more present in each moment.
Yes.
And
things and that's where we manifest, right? We manifest in the moment. All things are possible in the moment.
Right. They're not possible when you're outside the moment. So when you're just in maybe, is that like almost like a state of being where anything that comes to you, you're in like, oh, maybe, or do you ever like switch into maybe into like a definite?
Oh, well, I make decisions all day long. When you're in maybe, it's not that you're not going to, there's a moment where you need to act. There's a moment where you need to do what you need to do. But often a lot of stuff that's happening during the day we're getting hooked on are things that we're judging they're good or bad. Hmm. So I wake up in the morning, I could do a finance call, people have to make decisions, I could have another client, I could take my kid. I'm moving all the time. But maybe helps me with the stuff I'm projecting about.
I see. So you're making decisions not out of maybe, but out of directions you need to go.
In the moment.
And the stuff that you don't know, you're sort of like...
I'm unhooking with the maybe. Right. If you're present, you know what you need to do in the moment. It's clear. You need to make decisions. And yes, sometimes the decision is planning for the future. But even that is in present time. Maybe helps me alleviate the projection I have about that I'm not going to be okay because what's happening in the moment means tomorrow's going to be bad. It unhooks me from all those fear-based thoughts and brings me to the moment and I do what I need to do.
So what would you say to people then who are listening, who want to get there? They want to feel good. People don't want to be sick. Right. They don't want to be unhappy. They don't want to be in fear.
Right.
So, I mean, you've been saying it for the last hour, but what would you say simply to people who are listening besides read your book?
What's interesting about the book, and you know I usually don't promote the book.
No, it's okay. You can.
What's great about the book at this point is people are going to, you know, they're going to go on with their life. They listen to the show and they might forget what we talked about. And the book, you know, hits you really hard. Like you have it, you go back to it. And it's a good practice. It helps you learn the practice of maybe. So that's why I think that people should think about it. But if they don't want to buy the book, then go back to that exercise. Challenge your thoughts with this idea. Challenge it. My boss just reprimanded me.
Which idea? What idea should they challenge?
Like, let's say you say my boss just reprimanded me and now I'm going to lose my job. Like, just... look at the maybe. Are you sure? Like what's a projection and what's real in the moment? And I think if you start to question your thoughts with this idea of maybe, you're going to see life differently.
So, or maybe you do lose your job and maybe there's a better job waiting for you.
Exactly. The reason we're always so worried and upset is because in our mind we're thinking game over. It's not game over. Until your last breath, right? It's mm-hmm. not game over. Life has maybe. And sometimes you're going through a hard time and the maybe is just in the moment. The maybe is like, I'm sick right now, but maybe there's something I could do in this moment to enjoy myself. Maybe there's a laugh. Maybe there's a cup of tea. Maybe I can call my friend. Maybe it could be as small as the simplest moments in life or as big as who's going to be the next president of the United States. It just depends where you are.
Maybe opens the door for people locking themselves into a pattern of thinking and being. Maybe it's like a... like sunlight coming into someone's life unexpectedly.
Yeah, it just unhooks. It unhooks the fear-based thought. Unhook, unhook, unhook. And every day and there's some days where I'm so in maybe that I don't even need to say the word. I don't judge anything beyond the moment. And there are some days where I use the practice. Some days if you were with me, I could be saying maybe everything's going to be okay or maybe that thought's not true or maybe I need to wait. So it just depends. But I know... it's just a great practice. And for times like this, the thing is that there are certain people that can hang out in uncertainty because they have faith. So they're listening to us and saying, I don't need this. Or there are certain people that are religious. But somehow you have to be able to find a way to be uncertain because that's where the goodies lie. That's where your peace lies. That's where your harmony lies. So maybe it's just a practice that allows you to hang out in the unknown. And what's also fascinating about it, I know people who have cultivated faith through the practice of maybe. because they hang out in the unknown long enough that they start to see that this relationship with the unknown is the best thing in their life. That when they don't know, they create miracles. And those people have created faith. And that I didn't expect. That was something people came back to me with.
No, that's good. And even when negative things do happen, you know, I think what maybe does is help us be more present with that than projecting like a sad story or a self-pity or all that.
Right. You know? Absolutely. It because we don't know. And again, it also allows us to experience something really beautiful in this moment. I mean, if you think about it, the day after the election, you probably had a lot of beautiful moments, but a lot of us weren't even willing to recognize them because we were so into the story we were telling.
I was in such a fog. It felt like the whole city was in a fog the day after the election, right? I mean,
right. And we probably had a lot of beautiful moments that we just did. We probably had some great meals.
Well, I would say the moments that people had were very introspective. It kind of pushed people into themselves. So we could say those were beautiful or they were, and that's how I felt. It was very deep inner conversation that, I mean, people talked, mentioned that nobody was talking on subways. There was like a blanket over the city, which was kind of an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah. I actually found that I spoke to people on the streets. It was weird. Like you looked at someone, they looked at you. And I said, wow, could you believe this? I had conversations with strangers that day.
I know. It was like 9/11, right? It was like...
Well, that was the feeling, the level of what's going to be next.
Right. You know, that day after the election was 11/9. Did you know that?
Yeah. And we lived through that and we're going to live through this.
No, I know. And that, well, 9/11 is quite a negative sort of thing, but it did have its... I mean, there was lots of unfortunate people who died, but there were some positive things that came out of that in bringing people closer, waking people up to political realities that they might not be aware of, you know?
Right. And even if all of this it is not great and it takes the country back 4 years, well, then maybe we'll elect somebody else after that. So I'm just saying that there is hope. And I think if people allow themselves to feel it, they're going to calm down. They're going to quiet all these chaotic emotions over time. Mm-hmm. And I think people are going to unify. I hope people unify and we act and we fight hard. There's a lot of stuff that we need to do, all of us. So we got to get it together.
Wait, so you said maybe is hope without...
attachment.
But hope with possibility.
Hope with possibility, yeah.
But without it, hope without
it. And remember, if things don't happen the way that we expect, so what? So what? Something else could happen.
And it usually does. Something else usually does happen.
Yeah. And after that. But if we're not home for it, we miss it. That's the thing. When we're so busy telling the story that things aren't working out, sometimes we miss that opportunity that's right in front of our face. And that's what maybe does. You're always available for it. You're always available for good things or whatever's going to come your way. You're home.
I think that's a good point. Most people have two stories, a story that things are going to work out the way they want, and then the story that things didn't work out. But they're never outside the story in maybe. I think that's what maybe does. Yeah. It takes us outside of both those stories.
And maybe that's why, for me, when I'm in it, I attract more. Maybe I'm just available. I'm just seeing more because I'm not stuck in either story.
I'm finally getting it. I think I said that in our last interview, but I think I'm finally getting the hope of maybe.
For you in this moment, it's just making more sense.
It is. I think we have to talk about this another couple of years for me to really get it.
Or maybe this is your maybe epiphany and you're going to go from here and become you and I could be maybeous. We could travel around the country.
Maybeous. It's like a new religion.
Well, there actually is a philosophy called maybeism or something. I didn't read about it, but someone told me, so I don't know what it's about. So
you're the biggest maybeist out there.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know. Someone already coined the term. I don't know what it means, so I'm going to have to think of another name for myself.
Of course, there was that song your father liked.
What was it? Call Me Maybe.
Call Me Maybe. Which you hated, of course, but...
Well, yeah, it wasn't my favorite song, but
because I think your philosophy is much more serious and grounded in reality. Actually, I think you are I think you're facing more of reality. I think you're more present. That's what I'm getting from you. You're more, yeah, I keep saying you feel more solid.
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready in this moment.
You're ready, but the rest of the population, they should be ready for anything, maybe.
Well, I hope that people find a way to find their strength and resilience and choose to act and unify. And also, we talked about before, we also have to try to understand the suffering of others. We have to try to cultivate compassion, forgiveness. So there's a lot that we need to work on, not just our own personal angst, but to look at other people who are suffering and why.
Yeah, but that so those are two things Donald Trump helped us with, understanding the suffering of others, but also finding a resilience. I mean, of course, people can just be depressed and sit around and not think of it, or find the resilience that something else,
right,
a better universe, a better possibility can actually happen because there's resilience within the human,
yeah,
spirit.
And I think he also pulled the rug from people. A lot of people probably had low-level depression, low-level anxiety. They were writing stories. They were kind of playing the game of certainty. And they were managing, they were getting by. And yeah, now with Donald Trump, they feel they have no ground. So now they have to find a practice.
Actually, I knew a guy who was really depressed, and he was depressed for like months. And then this thing just snapped him out of it and said, wow, I have so much to do here, so much work. I'm so excited.
Well, yeah, he had a good reaction to it. And there are certain people who are just distraught. And also, again, a lot of people think that the anger is going to take them where they need to go. I see a lot of that.
Well, that's what I was saying about the protesters. That's not – it's great to express themselves, but anger in itself isn't going to make your story right.
Correct. But people are going to have to process it. They're going to have to process it. But the thing is, you can't process it if there's nowhere for it to go. If you're so sure that things are going to be bad, they're not going to work out, that this is going to be horrible, then the anger is just going to sit. So that's the thing. In order for it to – how does the anger shift? The anger only – for me, only shifts when I realize that my anger about this is not the only possibility, that my projection of what's going to be is not the only possibility. To me, when you can see that piece, you're sitting in a larger space, and then the anger has something else to turn. It has something to evolve into. And hopefully,
Yeah, but I'm just asking, your recommendation wouldn't be to change your story and then write a better story, like saying, okay, Hillary Clinton, when that was my story, so okay, this is another story. We will have a better country because...
No, because that'll make us complacent. That'll be certainty. Certainty makes us complacent.
Right.
We don't need certainty. We don't even want certainty. Certainty limits us. It makes us not stand up for what we love. It makes us not pursue our real dreams. We don't need certainty. We don't.
That's a big one for a lot of people to swallow, especially my mother.
Yeah. Well, it's honestly, it's the thing that's screwing us up all the time. Because that's why we're always suffering. I thought this doesn't happen. I thought that. That's why we're always on the roller coaster, because we're playing with that game. But the minute you say, I don't need it, you're on such a – uncertainty really is our – if you think about it, if you want your life to change, it has to happen in the unknown, right? That's the place where everything good or bad or everything – that's where everything is possible. So I'd rather hang out there.
What do you mean by the unknown? I mean, how do you – describe that? How do we hang out there?
You hang out with not knowing. You hang out, you look at the future and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. And the more you hang out with this not knowing, you are on the biggest possible playing field where the most possibilities exist.
But you don't give up your goals and
No. You say, this is my goal. You enter it with a goal. And then you're willing to see with what happens. Right? You enter it. I want to start a business. I want to fall in love. Okay, I don't know how it's going to happen, and I'm okay with that. And you're just in this open field and things come and go, and you don't judge them as good or bad. And eventually, I see people, you just find your way. You're more likely to achieve your goal if you're willing to hang out in uncertainty. Remember, you make decisions in the moment, but you're not projecting about the future. You're just open to it.
Right. No, I think that's a really great philosophy, and it's obviously worked for you, because you could have been really depressed and upset a few years ago with all this, and you...
Oh, I would have been knocked off my game big time. But you know something? It took very little to knock me off my game.
Right. But now, nothing can knock you off your game.
Well, I can't say that. I can't say nothing.
I know, but you're pretty solid in ways.
Well, I'm feeling in this moment. I'm sure, you know, tomorrow, you know, life is unexpected. I can't even write. That would be a story. For me to tell you that I'm going to be in constant maybe for the rest of my life would be a story I was telling you to make myself feel better. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I know I have this tool and I know I have this practice. And, you know, I'll see what
it's
happens
next. It's actually a spiritual practice for you, isn't it?
Yes, but I do meditate. I have to say that also I started doing TM about 5 months ago, and I see that it creates a really nice, another nice space for me between stimuli and reaction. I also feel that that's also helped strengthen my core, and I think meditation is great for everybody.
Yeah, so 20 minutes twice a day.
Yes, but before I found maybe I couldn't even meditate. So together it's between meditation, maybe, and gratitude. I think those are the three things that really hold me up every day.
You haven't talked about gratitude. What do you mean?
Well, I think what happens is sometimes people, they have no place to stand at all. They're just so distraught over everything, and they're busy telling the story about what's not happening in their life. And I think there's, at every moment in time, there's a story about what is happening. And the practice of gratitude gets you there. What is good in my life? I always describe it as you walk into the kitchen and you see dirty dishes in the sink, and you're like, my kitchen's dirty. But if you open up all the drawers and all the cabinets, you'll see most of the dishes in your kitchen are clean. And that's the practice of gratitude. What do I have in my life right now? And I find people could say, well, I have some good friends. Well, that's a start. I have food. I have shelter. I mean, sometimes it's also really basic, but it lifts people, gives people a platform to stand on to say, okay, this is what is okay in my life right now.
So gratitude's like, of course I've heard the word, but it's appreciating
what
the
is.
Moment you have, the
right.
Life as it is, like feeling appreciation.
Right. And there's a big movement in our society to just almost like look at life, you're completing tasks. All right, I have these five things. Now I got to worry and focus on these five things. And we all know that the life's not really like that. And maybe we're seeing it more now. So as we go through our day, let's appreciate what we have. And I try to do that. I find that's, for me, always grounding. But even with that, you know, uncertainty could knock me off my feet. So I need the practice of maybe. But gratitude's a great place to start, a great place to stand.
Yeah,
it's a great
good.
Beginning.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I have gratitude for you for that. Yes, thank you. No, I get it. I think that's gratitude. It's something we neglect because, you know, we're always getting to the next thing, but just stopping and appreciate just with yourself, right?
Right. Even in this moment, like think about what, you know, we're so busy projecting how horrible Donald Trump is going to be that we're forgetting about our own life.
And we're forgetting actually the incredible country we live in.
Right. Yeah, there are so many beautiful things. That's what's also about the election. You watch it, it made you feel like you live in the worst place in the world. But if you look at it, this world, this country is such a blessing. It's such a blessing.
I mean, you look at immigrant refugees who have lost everything, you know, and then we have to be grateful and have gratitude for what we do have because.
Right. And also New York City, it is such a symbol that diverse people could live together. It's amazing.
I do like New York City.
Yeah, all these people from all over the world are living basically peacefully with each other. It's
kind of on top of each other, basically on top of each other.
Literally on top of each other, right? And in a really, it just goes to show there's a lot to be thankful and grateful for. And I think that
only 10% of Manhattan, you know, voted for Donald Trump. But anyway, no, there's a lot to be grateful for. And you know, there's a lot for the future to unfold that can shift the planet so everyone can have an enjoyable life. Everyone.
Right. And I just ask, when people see things happening, maybe decisions Donald Trump makes or legislation they don't like, don't take it to the worst place, because just like that changed, it could change again. That's what we forget. We're always mourning change. Change is always bad. But if we don't like it, something will happen again after that. So I, you know, yes, maybe we should all buckle our seatbelts, but life has maybe, and it's not game over. And people should really just watch how, you know, all these projections about every little thing that's going to happen, because I'm sure there'll be things that will be surprising, but things are always things in life that are surprising, right? So hold the maybe, hold the hope, hold the gratitude, try to meditate, and we'll all get through this.
Thank you. Alice and Carmen, the gift of maybe. You're a gift yourself with your maybe.
Well,
I think you're really good for a lot of people, because you're bringing spirituality to sort of middle America, like the mothers and the fathers sit home who don't know anything about Deepak Chopra or anything like that. They hear this and you start to awaken a new way of thinking, which is what my program, New Realities, is all about.
Yes, so. And Alan, right now, it's not just them. It maybe seems to be for everybody. I've spoken to healers and Buddhists. It's just working for everybody right now. So I just think that it's an idea that even the most spiritual, grounded people have gotten thrown by this. So I think it's a practice. It might not be, you know, a major practice for someone who has a lot of other practices, but I just think it right now maybe is for everybody. And it's a place, I think, that would benefit all of us.
It's an idea whose time has come. It's a movement. I think you are the mother of a movement.
We'll see. Maybe. I don't know.
I think you are inspiring people. I'm really happy to talk to you. And it's always nice to feel how much deeper the maybe, the possibility, the hope actually it goes in you. I mean, you could sort of say maybe is hope, couldn't you? Without attachment.
Hope without attachment.
But it's hope. I mean, hope is.
Well, you know something, you don't even have to. For me, I hook into that. But you could also say, I don't want to feel hopeful. I just want to be present. And then maybe we'll unhook you for that too. There are certain people who don't need that. For me, you know, I that's my thing. When I say maybe, it reminds me, I don't know what's going to happen. And there's hope and possibility. Like if you know, for my dad, someone like my dad, who's he likes just to use it, I think, to be more of in a neutral state. And that's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you just become present. You're like, I don't need to feel anything. I just want to be present with it. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to go with the hope.
Right. But I like the hope because it
works for me and it works for a lot of people. So,
yeah, but yeah. And there's always hope and resilience and possibility for sure. That's why we keep inventing new ways of being, creativity. It's always full of hope. Anyway, thank you. Your website. What's your website?
My website is alisoncarmen.com.
That's Carmen.
Carmen. I also do a lot of writing for Psychology Today and HuffPost. So there's a lot of blogs there. The most recent blog I wrote about the election is in Psychology Today. So if you just put my name in with that, it's really about what we just spoke about today. And hopefully it'll be encouraging to the people that are listening right now if they want to read more about it.
Great. You sound so good. And we'll do more, okay? As the next crisis comes, we'll have you there online in check.
And Alan, I also want to thank you. You have been such a constant inspiration for me and my life and my journey. And I just would like to say thank you. And I really appreciate everything that you do and all the great work that you do in the world.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you for being a good friend. I appreciate that. So we'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Thanks for being my guest. And I'll just say I'm talking to Alice. I have been talking to Alice and Carmen. The Gift of Maybe, really a great book to get anywhere. I think you can order it online. Can you still get it online?
Yes, it's still offered at, you know, the bookstores, and it's on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. So it's in a lot of different places.
Okay, this is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. You can also find me on YouTube, youtube.com/newrealities. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and good night.